For our Lenten midweek services, we are going to be going through the book of Galatians. Why Galatians? Well, there are a lot of things in it that make for good preaching, such as the account of Paul's conversion, which we'll hear about today. Galatians contains Paul's confrontation with Peter over his hypocrisy before the Gentiles, the role of circumcision in Christianity, the status of Jews and Gentiles before God, fruit of the Spirit, and encouragement to bear with those caught up in transgression. All of these things are spoken of in this epistle. But the most important characteristic about Galatians is one that fits in nicely with the Lenten season, and that is Galatians, like all of Scripture, is about Christ. Galatians is Paul's letter telling a world that Christ is the one who saves sinners by his grace and mercy, nothing else. Not by work, not by charity and good attitudes, not by bloodlines and skin color. In Galatians, we hear that it is by the grace of God in Jesus that one is forgiven and granted access into God's everlasting kingdom. Paul makes this point over and over again, helpful because we need to hear it over and over again. As we journey through this Word of God together, it is my hope that all of us will be strengthened in our faith and further prepared mentally and spiritually for the Good Friday remembrance of Christ crucified for the sins of the world. Today's text comes from Galatians chapter 1, and in it we hear about Paul's conversion. Now, all of Paul's letters display a bold herald of the gospel who unapologetically preaches the faith. Here was a man who didn't back down from a challenge. He had plenty of zeal, and he was even willing to suffer and die for the faith that he had been given. And that's just it. Paul's faith had been given to him. It did not come from his flesh, as if faith is something spawned from the will and work of man. Faith was given to this destroyer of God's church, and thus he was turned into a mighty servant in the kingdom of God. Now, this does not mean that the consequences of Paul's actions suddenly disappear. As we know, Paul has a history that he can't shake. Now, when we look at our past sins, there might be some peace of mind to know that many people don't know about them. To your church family and maybe to others, your sins are well hidden, and that is just fine by you. Change does happen for those brought to life in Christ. And whenever we reflect upon our past sins, it can be painful as we look at them and wish we never would have done them. What was I thinking when I did all those bad things in college, or when I was single, or when I wasn't all that active in the church? Our past has a way of haunting us, creeping up into our minds unexpectedly. Something you did years ago can suddenly, out of the blue, flash before your eyes, and it can be painful. Don't worry. Christ died for those sins too. You are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Paul embraced the gospel. However, keeping his past sins out of the public eye was not an option. Such were his days as a destroyer of God's church, and many people were aware of this man, this persecutor of the gospel, suddenly preaching a different message. Paul could not hide the fact that in his days of Judaism, his zeal and knowledge for his father's traditions prompted him to rage against the saints of God, so much so that we even hear in the book of Acts that Paul, known as Saul at that time, was there at the martyrdom of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. His violence is evident, memorable, and Paul doesn't hide it. This at one time hardened, zealous, raging unbeliever intent on destruction now preaches Jesus Christ and confesses that his conversion was the work of God. Only God can take an enemy of the gospel and turn him into a believer. A miracle? You bet. It's nothing but miraculous that this sinner was brought to faith in the one true God. And Paul says this. He goes on to say to the Galatians that the gospel is a message that he received through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed himself to Paul. And by that encounter on the road to Damascus, his life was forever changed. In verse 15, the apostle is specific. He writes, "He who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles." This verse is packed with theology, and there are 3 points I want to make. One, Paul says that he was set apart to do the work of the ministry before birth. Still think God doesn't care about babies in the womb? Still think that maybe we make too big a deal about abortion? Think again. Before this apostle was born, God had elected him to be an orator of his word. Who's in control here, man or God? The answer's clear. Second, it was by God's grace that Paul was brought into the faith. And third, we hear that his task was to preach him. His task was to preach Jesus, the Son of God. Not fads, not opinions, not fairy tales and experiences. No, Paul is called by God to preach about Jesus, and he does so boldly. From time to time, I run into people who tightly hold on to the view that faith is a decision that one has to consciously decide to believe in God, and then God will be their Savior. You see, the old Adam doesn't like to relinquish control. He is arrogant, and he likes to take credit for things that only God can do. People are capable of confessing Jesus and his work while at the same time refusing to let go of that deep-seated desire to contribute to God's saving work. God is my Savior only when I decide he is so. Such arrogance is another symptom of the sinful flesh, kicking and screaming to play some part in God's salvation. Paul, however, makes no allusion to the strength of the flesh. There is nothing here supporting that sinful idea that faith comes from a man's decision, that faith comes from the intellect, that faith is our work preceding the saving work of God. No. What we see here in Galatians is God's saving work, revealing himself to the hardened sinner and by his grace calling him to life. The Lord is the one who saves, not us. And Paul testifies to this. Here, the destroyer is made into a herald of the gospel, done out of God's grace without cooperation. What this tells us, Christian, is that even faith comes from our God. That the reason we confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is because of the Holy Spirit that comes to us through that same powerful word Paul heard while traveling to Damascus. What this tells us is our salvation rests in God's hands, who calls unregenerate sinners into life, giving them faith that grabs hold of Jesus. Wow. It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? It really does sound like a message that is out of this world. And you know what, friends? It is. The gospel does not belong to man, as Paul says, but it is a message from our God that our reason cannot comprehend. Does this mean, Pastor, I can be lazy and do what I want, since you've made it very clear God is the one who saves? Does this mean, Pastor, that I am now free to sin and have no regard for the holy things of God, since God does all the work? The point of this message, the reason for the gospel, is not for us to take advantage of God's mercy and his kindness. The gospel is not a free pass for you to sin till your heart's content, as if sin is not something to worry about, as if sin is not that big of a deal before God, as if your sins cannot drag you away from the faith God has given. Temptation is powerful, isn't it? as wonderful, as comforting, as liberating as the gospel is, there is that voice in the back of our mind saying, it's really not true. It's not true. God really doesn't love you. Because if he did, all of your problems would go away. God really doesn't love you because if he did, your needs would be met. Your loved ones would not be ripped away from you at death. You wouldn't be struggling with some disease or ailment. If God really loved you, fill in the blank. These thoughts exist, and they are powerful. They cause us to doubt and to think things we shouldn't. Sin causes us to despise even God's word and pay no attention to a Savior who gave his life for you. You see, when it comes down to it, all of us in here should be very, very thankful that faith is not something that depends upon our minds, because, friends, our minds are filled with sin and incapable of producing the work and holiness God requires. If faith is a product of the mind, Christian, we're all in serious trouble, because the mind is an idol factory. Thanks be to God, it's simply not true. Thanks be to God for what we hear in the book of Galatians, and that is conversion and salvation is God's work. And he does it out of his mercy and his grace, calling sinners into life through his powerful word. This means something for you. This means, Christian, that when you are feeling weak, when you feel as if your faith is on the verge of disappearing, when you are going through a time of trial and tribulation, experiencing torment and affliction that is driving you to wit's end, it is just one thing after another. You only need to look to your crucified and risen Savior, Jesus. Look to Jesus, and there you will see God's gracious and merciful love for you. A love so great that he laid down his life in order to grant you pardon and the free gift of forgiveness of all of your sins, salvation, and eternal life. This is yours, even when your feelings say otherwise. God's work and his promise to save in Christ cannot be changed by feelings and emotions. His promises are sure, and you can trust in them. He will not turn his back on you, Christian, even if the world says otherwise. God is faithful. God is merciful and loving. This we see in the book of Galatians, a book that is about our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.